where you are. For instance, if I were to say right now that everybody that was sitting in a light brown chair would get $100 on the way out this morning, how many of you would decide to move to get into a light brown chair? See? Luke's already learned. If I say something about giveaway hundreds, he's like, I'm going to get one. Seriously, what if it was as simple as just deciding that you weren't going to be in a place no more? What if it was that simple? And I guess the good news, the gospel, is simply that. You don't have to be there no more. You don't have to be in that space no more. You could say that heaven is your home, that Jesus is your Lord. You don't have to remain in the quagmire of going through all the mess. You don't have to stay there. You actually have the right and the privilege of deciding that you want to do. The Bible says, I set before you today blessing and cursing, life and death. It says to choose life. You get to make the choice of life for you every day, every moment. And that is the good news. The good news is the gospel is not that you just get to go to heaven. That's part of it. That's part of it. And it's a good thing. And bless God, I'm really excited about that part portion of it. But the gospel is that you get to choose. You don't have to remain where you are. Amen? Amen? So let's make some choices. Amen? One of those choices would be, or one of those questions would be for me, is how do you make seven even? How do you make seven even? Who said that? Luke, my man, remove the S. Oh, several of you. No, okay. Got several of you. You remove the S. Everybody's trying to figure it out. Okay. Why don't dinosaurs clap their hands? No, because they're extinct. Okay. Yeah, I know. But what happened? What happened when two slices of bread went on a date? No, close. What happened when two slices of bread went on a date? It was loaf at first sight. Thank you. That'll be it for the today. Yeah, thank you. Paul's back, so I got to keep him short and sweet. You know, everybody say, welcome back, Paul. He's back there in the back acting like Pastor Paul spent some time out in the bush in the deep throes of Africa. I'm sure he'll bring us up to speed at some point, but he is also still experiencing some jet lag. It's a 20-something hour flight, and that's a long ways to go there and back. Actually, he told me a story. I'm going to tell your shoe story. Can I tell your shoe story? Paul, is that okay if I tell your shoe story? Yeah, you guess. All right. Jet lag. Anyway, he told me that he had to buy a new pair of shoes while he was there. He was so far removed from civilization. He was walking on sand and stone, and his shoes that he took melted. And he had to buy a whole new pair of shoes. And what's amazing to me, more than likely, the village that he was in, they didn't have no shoes. They just walking around on it all the time. Amen? Isn't that something? So I can't wait to hear Paul's stories of his escapades on the other side of the world. And anyway, welcome back, Paul. Y'all give him a hug on the way out. Amen? Guess where we're going this morning in the Word? Ephesians chapter 1. What verse? What verse y'all want to start on? 17 sounds good. Let's do that, Charles. Hallelujah. Paul says right before this, not that Paul, but Paul in the Bible, not this Paul, okay? Paul says right in the Bible before this, he said, you know, that I'm going to pray this for you, that I pray for this for you. And not only do you have to, or can you pray it for you, but you can also pray it for others. You can actually make it yours. And then you can also make it theirs. Like if you've got family members that are going through a hard time, or if you yourself are going through a hard time, or there's just, you know, somebody that you kind of know that's a friend, and you want them to experience the best that God absolutely has for them, and you don't know what to pray for, you don't know exactly how to pray, you don't know exactly what to say, this is a good place to start. Because Paul actually prayed this for the person reading it. So not only did he write a prayer, but he actually prayed the prayer in the writing of it. And we can use it today to kind of fill in the blanks in our lives. Amen. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. Who's the you? It's me. That's me. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I haven't stopped here in a while. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I thought about it this morning before we got going. I was kind of just kind of prepping. You know, I got to kind of think about stuff. I get notes. I got tons of notes. But, you know, notes don't really do nothing. It's the inspiration of God that actually, you know, to get a word from God is way better than hearing anything from me. And so I was thinking about it this morning, and he was like, you know, he's like, so many of my people, you know, they kind of stop at just knowledge. He's like, they know the scripture, and they know the stories of the Old Testament. They know the stories of Jesus, and they know that things are in the Bible. But they don't ever let the spirit of wisdom and revelation take them beyond just that knowledge. And I kind of sat there and I was like, all right, cool. And he goes, you know, the best way to prove or to figure out if you're still stuck there, he said, have y'all ever heard somebody say, I know the Bible says that, but not even about God. Just, I know the Bible says that, but my situation's a little different. I know the Bible says that, he'll meet all my needs, but you just don't have a clue how bad everything is. You know, I know the Bible says that he's my shepherd, that he'll feed me, guide me, and shield me, but you just don't know how rough things are. If there's a but there, but you just don't know, then all we have at that point is just mental assent and some knowledge that we've picked up. I can quote a lot of scriptures for you, but I would much rather walk them out and have them active in my life than just to know what they say. I can tell you some stories from the Old Testament. I could sit up here and tell you stories from Judges. I could tell you about Samson. I could tell you about David and Goliath and Jehu, which most of y'all don't even know his story, all right? I could tell you all the stories you want to hear up here. But without letting that become, without letting the spirit of wisdom and revelation penetrate your heart, they're just stories of other people at another time that doesn't apply to anything in your life. The spirit of wisdom and revelation that he's praying for here is so important because it takes us from a place of knowing to a place of doing. It takes us to a place of experiencing God's word on a very, very, very personal level to where he becomes so real to us that faith is no longer a problem. Did you hear me? He becomes so real to us. The Bible becomes so real. The scriptures begin to mean so much to us that faith is no longer a problem. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding doesn't even flip through your mind no more because you have so much trust. You've received this spirit of wisdom and revelation in him on such a personal level that there's no question that he's not going to do what he says he's going to do. When we pray this prayer for ourselves and ask for him to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, it's not so we can quote scriptures. It's so that we can actually experience the fullness of his word in every day of our life, in the everyday life that we do. All of us have a father or mother to some degree, right? In my life, both of my parents are still alive. And still to this day, if either one of them tells me that something is going to happen, I believe it. I have received the spirit of wisdom and revelation when it comes to Marcia and Alan. And I know when Marcia and Alan tell me they're going to do something or something's going to be a particular way, I've experienced them enough on a very personal level that it's going to come to pass. But yet, whenever it comes to the things of God, We have a tendency to know what the word is saying, but we don't allow the spirit of wisdom and revelation to begin to flow in our lives so that we can experience on a very, very, very personal level. So much so that it turns into, well, God said it. So not only must it be true, it turns into, it is true. And not only is it true, it's 100% truth. What's the difference, Greg? The difference is it's true to me, but it's truth to the world. It's something that I can stand on. It's a thing that I can let myself be firm in the truth of His Word, that no matter what this world throws at me, no matter what the world has to say, no matter how people might react around me, none of that matters because now I have truth in my life that I can now convey. And as I convey that truth, I'm conveying the gospel. And as I'm conveying the gospel, the power of God goes to work. Amen. That we might receive what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. What happens when we receive that? The eyes of our understanding are then enlightened. One of the translations says flooded with light. That the eyes of our understanding be flooded with light. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As you let the word start to penetrate you, as you let the spirit of wisdom and revelation operate in your life so much so that you experience God on a very personal level, as you start to take these steps through learning and experiencing what it's like to be a true Christian, you begin to have light not only show up here, but around you. The eyes of your understanding will be flooded with the light of His Word. It's no longer confusing. I don't know about y'all, but at one point the Bible was confusing to me. It seemed to say one thing in one spot and something else completely different in another spot. Anybody else, or was it just me? Ain't nobody gonna raise their hand. I got three, four. We got some people in here willing to say, yep, that was me. There was a time. But between that time and now, I had an experience with the Spirit of God. We have a belief here that we believe in tongues and the experience of having a prayer language. And through that, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is not only Him living within you, but being upon you. Kind of like if you pour water into a cup and you keep pouring it, eventually the water leaves the cup and starts to get on the outside of it, not just on the inside of it. I had that experience and still have that experience till today. And receiving that has now given more light into my life to where the word makes all kind of sense. And whenever people tell me that it don't make sense and they start quoting it to me, I'm like, you don't see. You've not received the spirit of wisdom and revelation in His knowledge. You haven't experienced like I have on a personal basis. Y'all know I'm afraid of electricity, right? Can't stand it. It scares me. But there are guys, gentlemen, that are paid to mess with that stuff. Right? They'll climb up on a pole out here with some wires on it and go to messing around and doing stuff. And from what I understand, and y'all forgive me, I don't know exactly how it works, but it's something like, you know, if they was to touch the ground while they was doing what they were doing, sometimes they might die. But doing what they're doing, they know how it's supposed to work and how everything is, so they can't get hurt because they're doing X, Y, and Z. They have experienced on a very personal level something that now they're not necessarily afraid of it. They don't see it as a mystery, and it makes complete and total sense to them. It's the same thing whenever people start throwing scriptures at me in a very weird way. It's like, you know, no, that's not quite it, bro. Not quite it. Sounds good, but that ain't it, you know. And so it's the same idea, is that we have to experience Him on a very personal level. Y'all with me? That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know. There are some things He wants us to know. He wants you to know the hope of His calling. He wants you to be able to step into everything and anything and all of it that He has for you. He doesn't want to withhold this thing. He may have it hidden. It might be hidden for you, but it definitely has not been hidden from you. He has set it in a place for you to find. He wants you to see the hope of his calling. He wants you to know that today is not as good as tomorrow. He wants you to know that today may feel good, but tomorrow is going to be better. He has something better for you on the next step. He is ready to take you into that. He wants you to know it. And Paul is praying a prayer here that we could pray that says, hey, you get the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge. Stand and be enlightened, and you will know the hope of his calling. You won't have to guess no more. Don't have to guess no more what the Lord wants you to do. You'll know it. Almost like you know that you got your socks on in the shower. You don't have to see to know you got your socks on in the shower. It's just one of those things that you know. Has anybody taken a shower with your socks on? If you did, I promise you, you will know that you've got your socks on. Because all of a sudden, it's like, something don't feel right. I mean, a shower is supposed to feel pretty good. This feels different. It don't feel right. You ever been there? You've never had anything in your life, Michelle, that didn't feel right. I know. Oh, okay, yeah, I know that. If there was anybody that would, it'd be her. She from Bunky. You know, they gonna do that down there. Have you ever been in anything in life, though, and you're like, you know, I just don't feel right? That's him letting you know the hope of his calling. It don't feel right because this ain't what I've got for you, son, daughter. That's why it feels funny. It feels funny because your heart knows what I want. Everybody remember peanut butter and jelly? You ever mixed them together in a bowl? You ever done that? Sometimes I do peanut butter and banana. That's good stuff right there. I'm just going to tell y'all. Peanut butter and jelly, you mix them up in a bowl, they become one, right? The Bible says that our spirit's mixed with his spirit. So if our heart's saying, whoa, time out. It's because it knows, your heart knows that from heaven, from God's perspective, this ain't for you. And I know many of us have walked into a place. I'm not going to say what happens in this place. But we walked into different places where we know as soon as we step in, we ain't supposed to be there. And we keep on pressing through, but yet we come in on Sunday morning and we want to know what God's will is. I'm going to say it again. We all know that we step into places and as soon as our foot goes in there, socks on in the shower. Something ain't right. It's right here. I'm talking about all of us. I'm included in the us's. You step in there, you know it ain't right. You keep going. And then we come in here and we want to know, God, what do you want me to do? Don't go in there no more. Pretty simple. He wants us to know the hope of his calling. He has so many things better for you. Where you are today is just it's just the edge of what he has. It's just a tip. It's like the tip of an iceberg. Y'all seen the picture of the iceberg? I know you've seen it. Where it's on top of the water, it looked like about this much, and then underneath the water, it's like just a bunch of it. Man, that's just the thing that I see in the spirit for all of us. He doesn't want us to stay where we are. He's got something so much better for you. He wants you to know about it. Amen. He wants us to know what? The hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Don't worry about your money. Pete, don't worry about your money. If you read your Bible, anybody in here ever read their Bible? Anybody? A few of you. Good. I'd like for more of you to do it, but The few that have you ever noticed when you read your Bible how often he talks about taking care of you? That I took care of the birds of the air, the flowers that are on the field. Why do you think I ain't going to take care of you? Y'all know these scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd. He feeds, guides, and shields me. I shall not lack for any good thing. That's the Amplified Bible. Psalm 23, verse 1. It's on every grandmother's wall somewhere in their house. Don't worry about it. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And it's not just about money. I know that, but it's included. We spend 40 hours a week trying to obtain it. Do what he says to do with it, and don't worry about the rest. We had Stephen come up here and give us an excellent and eloquent, I might add, eloquent dissertation on giving and how giving should not be anything that we think about too terribly much, that we just put our trust in God and move forward. Amen. If we do the things that he tells us to do, we don't have to worry about it no more. Just say it. I'm not going to take up another offering, and that's not a plug. You know, church is good. But he wants us to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You unlock the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints by doing what he tells you to do. He gave us 66 books of what he wants. Let's do that first. Let's just go ahead and do that part. And if he needs anything else from us, he will let us know. He's pretty dang smart. Everybody good? And the third thing, he still wants us to know more. He ain't done yet. That's what I like about God. He's just going to be conjunction, junction, what's your function. He's always going to be adding to. You know what I'm talking about? He's just going to be putting more and more on there. You think you got enough, he's going to give you some more. You know, you think there's plenty there, he's going to give you some more. I'm reminded of John the Revelator whenever he was taken up to heaven, and he's right about heaven. He said, I saw angels. They were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands upon thousands. So 10,000 times 10,000, 100 million, if you do the math real quick in your head, right? It's 100 million, then thousands upon thousands. He had no clue. He's like, every time I turn, God just adding more angels. That's the way God likes to do things. Well, I want you to know the hope of a calling. I want you to know the riches of the glory, inheritance of the saints. And he's always got some more. The exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Do I have anybody in here that believes this morning? Any believers? We got some believers in here. Guess what? God's power, his exceeding great power, is ready for you right now. His great, exceeding, what's its exceeding, Greg? It says in Ephesians chapter 3, anything you ask or think. Y'all know that scripture? Y'all turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, real fast. Just right there. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above. Let's take our time on this one. Now to him who is able. He don't need your help. He's got it. He's able. Quit worrying about it. To do exceedingly abundantly above. I don't think there's any stronger statement that you can find in the Bible about how God reacts his power towards you. Exceedingly and abundantly above. So it exceeds. It's more abundant. And it's also above. It exceeds. It's more abundant, which abundantly is an adverb that means abundant but more of it. So it's abundantly. And above. I'm going to do it one more time. Because if y'all like me, you're kind of slow. Exceedingly, abundantly, above, he's able to do that. All things, all. Not just some. Not just the easy stuff. Not just the stuff you ask for in church. But all that we ask or even think. According to what? The power that does what? It's already working in you. It's already in there. There's a commercial somewhere where somebody goes, it's in there. It's an old commercial. I can't remember what it was. But we were talking about the ingredients in the thing. It's in there. In you right now. It's in there. Y'all, anybody ever ate a ding dong before? How about a Twinkie? Hostess cupcake? Good stuff's on the inside, ain't it? That's you. We a bunch of ding dongs and Twinkies walking around, baby. That is 100% the truth. Because all the good stuff done been bottled up in you. It's working in you right now. It's in there. It's in there. It's in there and it's wanting to get out. It's wanting to get out. We too busy. We too busy trying to figure it out and just letting, instead of just letting it go. I could be real crass here, baby, about letting stuff go that's in us that needs to get out. You know, Miss Jessica? No. Dorothy? Okay, I got all three of them are like, no. Yeah. Well, Tom, I'm not gonna ask you or Chris because y'all gonna be like me, yeah, talk about poop. Sorry, ladies, I apologize. That's it. Inside of you right now is exceedingly great. Above. What you can ask or think according to the power that's working in you. The good stuff's on the inside. Back to Ephesians chapter 1. He said, what is the exceeding greatness, which is exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think, power that's already toward you according to what, Lord? The working of his mighty power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. We tell a story about Christ being raised from the dead. In that was the power of God going to work, not so Jesus could get over rigor mortis. Are y'all hearing me? Yeah, right. He didn't raise him from the dead just so he would get over rigor mortis. Whenever he was doing that, he wasn't just trying to raise a man from the dead and make his body work again. When he went through that work, dead, but he raised us from the dead and also destroyed and defeated all the works of the enemy. Now sin ain't no problem. I figured y'all run on that one. Sin ain't no problem. It's now a question of what are you going to do with his son? My kids have asked me for years, Dad, can I get a tattoo? Dad, can I get a tattoo? Well, that's a great question. And most parents would think that people that pastor a church would say no. Can't get no tattoo. I mean, traditionally speaking, most churches that you go to, they want you to cover them up. Right? Folks in there, you know, they ain't gonna do all that. Right, exactly. We go, man, we love it around here. Come in here inked up all day. We like it. Amen. But my kids asked me if they could have a tattoo. And my answer is, I don't know. Your body don't belong to me. And it don't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus Christ himself, because he died for your body, he died for your soul, and he died for your spirit. You need to be asking him what to do with your body, not me. It ain't none of my business. Need to be talking to him about all that. Why? Because he died. He was raised. You died with him. You were raised with him. You were seated with him in heavenly places. You are no longer your own, but Christ has bought and paid for you by his precious blood. Oh, what a magnificent place to be in, to actually go ask him, what do I need to do with myself? Think of the freedom in that. It's not a bondage. It's not something to tie you down. It's no longer religious anymore. It's not about what church I go to or don't go to. It doesn't come down to that anymore. Now it comes down to, what would he like for me to do? Smith Wigglesworth, I know y'all have heard this. Smith Wigglesworth, who was an evangelist at the turn of the 1900s, which would have been the 20th century. He had many miracles that were done. He was a little short guy. He was from England, evangelist, did his thing. Lester Sumrall, who was a preacher here, actually a teacher here in the States. He was abroad for a number of years, and then he moved to the States primarily. Lester Sumrall got to talk to Smith Wigglesworth one day. Now, Smith Wigglesworth, it's actually recorded that people were dead. He prayed for them. They were alive. Okay? Hours gone by. Days gone by. There's many, many, many testimonies of this happening. Anyway, Lester Sumrall spent some time with Smith Wigglesworth, and he asked him how he starts his day. Smith Wigglesworth said, well, the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is I dance before the Lord. First thing, dance before the Lord. I'm telling you what he did. I ain't telling you what I do. I get up and I'm like, oh, do I have to? Anyway, dance before the Lord. Then I take a cold shower because I want my body to know I'm in charge and it's not. Did you get that one? That's kind of like that cold plunge stuff that folks do now. Anybody cold plunge before? Yeah. I did it yesterday by accident. I jumped in the pool after going and doing the distribution. Wow. All I say is wow. I never felt that way before in my life. It was so cold. And you're supposed to say, how cold was it? It was cold. Said, I take a cold shower so my body knows I'm in charge, and it is not. He said, then I pray for an hour, I read my word for an hour, and I sit down and ask God what he wants me to do today. It's a simple transaction that takes place here, y'all. The exceeding greatness of his power towards us is made available all the time. All the time. He wants us to know the hope of his calling, and he doesn't want us to be worried about all the other stuff in life that seems to take our attention, because it's all included in the riches of the glory of his inheritance. He's looking to give you, me, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of this stuff, so that all of a sudden, the eyes of our understanding, the eyes in our spirit, our inner person, we'll start to see the light of all of this. You can see the simplicity of living the way he wants us to live. It's not hard. It's so easy. The devil and the world will do everything they can to keep you from doing it. The walk with God is an easy walk. And he's ready to take all of us for a stroll, especially through the valley of the shadow of death. I know we prayed for it earlier, but let's release it. Let's just release it. It's been on me through this whole time I've been up here. Let's let it go. Let that spirit of wisdom and revelation begin to flow in us. Let that light start to work on the inside of us. And we start to see the things that he has for us, what he wants to do in us, and what's really already working in us. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord. Father, I thank you that there's anybody here that doesn't know who you are. Father, give them the courage right now to let me know. If you've never accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life and you want to make a change today, become a new man, a new woman, the Bible says you will become a brand new creation that never before existed, then today is your day. Let's get it done. Lift your hand. I'll pray for you. We'll get it knocked out. Hallelujah. Everybody pray this prayer after me. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says, if I believe in my heart And if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, I will be saved. I do believe and I do confess that Jesus is Lord of my life. And I am born again. And I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.